This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and glad to have you with us on this Wednesday after off-year election day.
It's a good night for progressives. It's a good night for Democrats.
We've sent a message across the world.
To believe in each of us is to believe in all of us.
You've proven that we are a city of opportunity and inclusiveness.
This one's for you.
Are you ready to keep Virginia blue?
Voices from Democrats feeling good across the country last night. And that last voice you heard was Ralph Northam, Democratic candidate for the governorship of Virginia. And keep Virginia blue is what Ralph Northam did. And he didn't do it alone. Democrats overwhelmed Republicans in state assembly races across Virginia. They took the governor's office in New Jersey after 8 years of Chris Christie, and even in Maine, where voters there said yes to expanding Medicaid for an estimated 80,000 people. Now, in Virginia, Northam did have help from Democrats, it's true. But also, it appears, from President Donald Trump. Republican candidate Ed Gillespie used some unmistakable Trump-style tactics in Virginia, emulating a president with a 35% approval rating, and moderate voters soundly rejected it. We'll have more from New Jersey in just a moment, but let's go to Virginia first. The marquee race in this off-year election last night, a big win for Democrats, to see what the results might say and just might not say about 2018 and beyond. Michael Pope is here with Virginia Public Radio, who was on hand last night with the Democrats in Northern Virginia. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's spend just a little bit of time with the numbers. How did Ralph Northam do? Were there any surprises in the results last night?
Well, the top line number was probably the most surprising. Ralph Northam won with 54% of the vote compared to Ed Gillespie, the Republican in the race, who got only 45% of the vote. And so that was a result that exceeded the expectations of almost everybody that was there last night at the victory party. So the Democrats really were on their game in terms of organizing and getting out the vote.
And what's behind Northam's unexpected victory here? I mean, Virginia has been increasingly blue from purple, but this was a real sweep.
It was a total sweep. You know, the governor's race was not the only statewide ticket on the ballot. There was also the lieutenant governor and the attorney general. So there were three statewide races on the ballot, and the Democrats swept all three of them. And, you know, in terms of what might account for that and what might explain that, the Democrats were really saying it was all about Trump, that Trump was looming over the election, that voters wanted to react to Trump. You know, Virginia is the only southern state that voted for Clinton and not Trump. And Gillespie is a former chairman of the Republican Party of Virginia, and he had in the past fashioned himself as a moderate, someone who wanted to go after Latino voters and bring them into the fold of the Republican Party. During this campaign, though, he transformed into like a fire-breathing conservative who defended Confederate monuments and wanted to go after sanctuary cities. And the voters in Virginia rejected that. You know, the Democrats really sort of campaigned against Trump and Trumpism. And Gillespie gave them exactly what they needed because he transformed his campaign into something that had been about tax cuts and sort of government reform into defending Confederate monuments and going after sanctuary cities.
And let's talk about that for one moment. Here is Northam during his victory rally last night.
It is that diverse society that makes this country great. And as long as I'm governor, I will make sure that we're inclusive, that we welcome people to the Commonwealth of Virginia. Our lights will be on. Our doors will be open.
Ralph Northam there talking about inclusiveness, largely as a reaction, Michael Pope. Look, let's talk about Ed Gillespie. You mentioned it. He wound up running a campaign following Donald Trump's playbook here in Virginia, vilifying and ridiculing his opponent, using racial levers and resentments as a wedge, Confederate monuments, Southern heritage. It was notable, especially because of what you said. Gillespie was a former head of the Republican National Committee. Mr. Moderate, the guy who a few short years ago said the GOP has to reach out to Latinos, a broader range of voters. Gillespie did not do that, and it says something important about Republicans right now.
Well, Gillespie found himself in kind of a spot during the primary campaign when he sort of made the beginning part of this transformation. His opponent in that primary was someone from the Trump wing of the Republican Party. In fact, he had been the chairman of the Trump campaign in Virginia. His name is Corey Stewart, and he has the same sort of issue set as Trump, defending Confederate monuments, going after undocumented immigrants. And so during the primary campaign, you know, Gillespie had to confront Trumpism, and he squeaked out a very narrow victory. It was unexpectedly narrow. And then he had to walk a tightrope, right? So he had to make sure that he was still appealing to the voters of Corey Stewart, who, you know, he needed their votes, while also sort of pulling in the moderate wing of the Republican Party, you know, in Virginia, which would be the country club, you know, horse country Republican. And he clearly was not able to do that. If you look at the swing counties in Virginia where they could go, you know, either way, Virginia Beach, Loudoun County, Henrico County, Prince William County, Northam took all of those swing counties.
Meanwhile, Michael, a shocker in Richmond, the state assembly, Democrats swarmed. They picked up 14 seats. This is not just about the governor's race. People watching from the outside aren't going to avoid the conclusion that Republicans are weak in a swing state right now. What does that say?
Well, the House Democratic leader in the House of Delegates named David Toscano, when he was speaking last night at the Northam Victory Party, he said, you know, what happened in the election is not just a wave, it's a tsunami. So this guy could potentially become the next Speaker of the House. The Democrats picked up at least 14 seats. There might actually be more, you know, after a long period of total domination by Republicans in the House of Delegates.
And Michael, a little bit of history that we need to talk about. In Northern Virginia, Danica Rome becomes the first transgender state legislator. She beat an incumbent who sponsored anti-trans bills, including a bathroom bill. This is a first, and it's a first in Virginia.
To every person who's ever been singled out, who's ever been stigmatized, who's ever been the misfit, who's ever been the kid in the corner, who's ever needed someone to stand up for them when they didn't have a voice of their own because there's no one else who is with them. This one's for you.
So the name Danica Rome is one that your listeners should remember because they're going to be hearing a lot more of it. This was the transgender woman who beat out longtime Republican Bob Marshall, who had represented his district in Northern Virginia for many years. And this was an arch conservative, the guy who wrote the bathroom bill that would prevent transgender people from using the restroom of their choice. So it's not just that the transgender candidate won, it's who she beat, the chief enemy of the transgender community. So Danica Rome will go to Richmond representing a part of Northern Virginia that had for many years been represented by the other side.
Big victories for Democrats all across Virginia, from the state assembly seats in Richmond to the governor's office, the lieutenant governor, and on down the line. Michael Pope, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
Michael Pope is a reporter at Virginia Public Radio.
This is one of the first major elections since Donald Trump was elected. Tonight, New Jersey sent an unmistakable message to the entire nation. We are better than this.
And now let's go to the only other governor's race in the nation yesterday. Democrat Phil Murphy beat Republican Lieutenant Governor Kim Godano in the race in New Jersey for governor, a 13-point margin for Murphy. But as Nancy Solomon says, there's plenty to learn from the contest as well as from smaller races across the state. Nancy's managing editor for New Jersey Public Radio and WNYC. Nancy, always great to have you here.
Hi, Todd.
So the governor's race, Murphy wins, the Democrat. Maybe not a shocker, but you're seeing lots of messages in this race and races across the state.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we were expecting possibly historic levels of low turnout, and that didn't happen. And I think what we saw was a really energized Democratic base that came out despite the fact that Murphy had been leading in the polls by double digits since the primary. And also, you know, there was a certain lack of enthusiasm for this particular candidate among Democrats, not among all, but among a broad swath of them. So I think you can't see it as anything but a reaction to both wanting to make a statement and take action against Chris Christie and Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, as people watch this race from outside New Jersey, it's inevitable there's going to be a Trump interpretation here. We talked about Trump-style tactics in Virginia with Ed Gillespie. Was that a factor in New Jersey with Kim Godano?
Yeah, somewhat. She started out the race as a moderate Republican, which also Chris Christie did early in his political career. And then it wasn't working for her. So she shifted. And instead of running to the right in the primary and back to the center for the general, she flipped that. And she was more of a centrist during the primary. And she made a hard right turn sometime, I'd say, in late September. And one of the things she did was put out an ad that made it look like Phil Murphy wanted to give sanctuary to immigrants who commit crimes. It took his words out of context, and it was a very Willie Horton-esque kind of an ad for folks who are old enough to remember that. And so, you know, and we were hearing that could actually be a strategy that might help her. I would talk to people who were going door to door working on local races, and they said they were surprised by how many Democrats were asking them questions about what is this thing about Phil Murphy creating a sanctuary state. So there was some concern that that was going to have an effect, but it didn't play out that way.
So in local races, state races going forward, look, in this first election of the Trump era, what's the message that campaign planners, operative strategists, people who are going to run the next campaigns might be taking from what they saw in New Jersey?
Well, Phil Murphy, you know, he didn't just run a Democratic campaign. He ran a very liberal, progressive campaign, and he won. And I think, you know, the lesson after 2016, I mean, a lot of people were thinking, hey, if Bernie had been the candidate, maybe he might have won the election. So I think Democrats are going to be emboldened now to really take back some of their progressive ideas and principles.
Nancy Solomon, managing editor, New Jersey Public Radio and WNYC. Thanks again, Nancy.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, we have a bit of a recap for you. Some other notable election day results from across the country. Maine residents expanded Medicaid in a vote of confidence for Obamacare. Overall, incumbent mayors across the country did pretty well. Boston, New York, Detroit all reelected their mayors. But it was also a day of firsts. We mentioned Danica Rome in Virginia, the first transgender person to be elected to a state legislature, also a singer in a metal band called Cab Ride Home, if you didn't know that fun fact. Charlotte, North Carolina will have its first black woman as mayor. And Hoboken, New Jersey elected the state's first Sikh mayor there. Today also marks the anniversary of the 2016 election and the election of President Donald Trump. We've been asking you, are you more or less involved in politics since that day?
Hi, I'm Linda calling from Robbinsville, New Jersey. I've always paid attention to politics, but since last year's presidential election, I've become less a spectator and more of a participant. Through daily calls, through letters, emails, tweets, rallies, marches, and donations, I'm making my voice heard.
1 year after the election of President Donald Trump in 2016, you're telling us how you're engaging with politics. You can always give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can send your tweets to us at The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.